following program has been furnished and paid by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSEV is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. We're glad you could tune in today. And before we get started, I just want to give you my normal reminder that please don't run out and execute any strategies based on tax options or even based on what might be coming down the road here soon with tax rules. I mean, my gosh, when you turn on the either one of the campaign rallies, you start to hear a lot of things being bantered about that, you know, frankly, there's no way most of them can happen because we don't have the money. That's one little problem that seems to get overlooked. But there's also the simultaneous effort to generate the money. And if you don't think they're coming after small businesses, you better wake up and smell the coffee, because that's the only place there's a lot of money is with the middle class and small business owners that are able to do, you know, maybe above average, but still not the mega millionaire types. They're really going to go after those types. The problem is we don't have that much money sitting out there with the billionaire class. If you were to add it all up, heck, if you even just took the net worth of the billionaires all at one time instead of taxing them over a period of years, it still wouldn't much move the needle on the amount of debt that we have to deal with. It's crazy. And we'll take a look here momentarily with the debt clock and see what it's tracked up to. It's been a couple weeks or so since we've looked at it. Let's take a look. I noticed I had an article come in today from Globe Street on single-family permits jumping up. I'm curious how much of a jump that is. Let me pull this article up here real quick. And again, I'm sure these are, let's see, this is the national reporting from Globe Street. So again, think averages. And, you know, as I've said many times, none of us are average. We're all actual. So let's see. The second quarter of 2024 saw solid boost in both single-family permit issuance and construction across the country, led by a rebound in high-density areas, according to a new analysis by the National Association of Home Builders. Results for the multifamily builders were less positive. Well, that may be because we had, you know, 90 bazillion units already come to market here in the last year, year and a half, that were going to take a while to get through any significant absorption to where you'll start to see new projects. I'm guessing, I don't know, a couple years at a minimum, maybe longer. But Anyway, multifamily construction slowed and permitting continued its downward trend. We talked about specific numbers. I believe it's been a couple weeks ago and maybe 3 weeks ago. And there's nobody in a hurry to get permits pretty much anywhere in the country. Problems that developers face continue to include higher interest rates, a shortage of workers, and challenges with the supply chain for some building materials, according to NAHB Chairman Carl Harris. Single-family permit growth rose in all seven regions that the index covers. However, construction, especially of townhouses, was strongest in higher-density areas. Kind of makes sense. The highest rate of single-family growth was in large metro core counties, defined as primarily suburban areas. This indicated, the analysis said, that teleworking is still a factor with people moving to more affordable areas. The dispersal of new single-family construction across the country included 16% in large metro, large metro core counties, 25% in large metro suburban counties, 29% in small metro core counties, and the remainder scattered through more distant metro and non-metro counties. So, assuming that, I'm assuming we're not seeing the single family being built for rentals, although there could be some build to rent projects going on. I'm assuming this is people that would otherwise rent apartments that qualify for being able to get a mortgage and buy a home, even at prices that are unbelievably high. I believe the national median on a home now is about $420,000 or so. And I think it takes somewhere around 150, 154, if I'm not mistaken, to qualify. So that's those are some pretty stout numbers when you look at the number of people that are in that strata of income and that wants to go lock up a relatively high rate of mortgage. Let's see here. Interesting note here at the end of this article is, on the other hand, single family and multifamily performed well in second home areas, defined as counties where at least 10.3% of the total housing stock consists of a second home. So I guess those are areas where maybe there's a lake, you got a lot of lake homes, or maybe it's, you know, a timeshare area or fractional ownership area. I could see both of those helping that process along. Let's see. I forgot to mention that, we may talk about real estate private partnership syndications today. I'm not sure if we'll have time or not, but I want to make sure you understand, number one, that I am not rendering legal, accounting, or other professional advice. If you need such advice, it's strongly recommended that a professional advisor be engaged. If you don't have a professional advisor, you can go to our website, complete Step 1, Form 1, and with that information in hand, I can take a look at that. And if you want to schedule a call with me, you can do that on our website as well. The website is BAPlannerShow.com, and you'll see a call link right next to the forms link about midway down on the homepage. Again, baplannershow.com. And we talk about real estate private partnership syndications. They're coming back. I'm seeing some of those that have resurrected themselves from calamity as of late, had more than a few deals go back to the lender. And you won't really hear about those transactions when you go to the case study nights or you get marketing emails touting webinars on investments that are oh so good. And all I can tell you is if you're not familiar with the multifamily market, you need to get familiar or you need to work with someone that is so they can help you navigate the waters that you're going to be sailing through or seeking to sail through. And I can promise you, without that information, you're potentially setting yourself up. Because again, there's little, if any, requirements under the SEC crowdfunding statute that a syndicator disclose to you the problems that they've encountered. And by the way, problems are not necessarily a bad thing. Depends on how the syndicator dealt with it. How did they handle it? And unfortunately, there's been more than a few people that in the syndicator arena that have not done a good job of dealing with those lender issues. And that's why they've had properties go back. And when a property goes back, it's often the case that all the investor money, including retirement funds, is gone. And that's why I say, if you're looking to get into the real estate private partnership market, which I think is wise generally, because there are some real deals out here today, and smart syndicators are going to find them. But I would tell you there needs to be an extreme focus put on the sensitivity of the fees that are being taken out up front, and you know, have some clawback provisions. Now that you know who some of the good syndicators are and who aren't, I would tell you that anytime someone's taken a acquisition fee and then they end up giving the property back to the lender, they should be culpable for that. I mean, after all, what are they getting paid the acquisition fee for? Even if I don't agree, they'll give you a long list of reasons why they need to be paying for people ahead of actually having a property. And I do not agree. I would suggest to you that any syndicator that's been successful will have the capital base, their own capital, to where they can front those acquisition costs, and then their promote or their override is more than adequate to cover those costs. It's just they have to produce to get it. And that's what you want as a capital partner. You want the syndicator to have to hit a lick, so to speak, to get those costs reimbursed. Otherwise, why are they taking an override? What's the promote for if they can't get you to an acceptable finish line to where you get your money back? You know, I get a kick out of these syndicators that will say, well, you know, I've got all this money out of pocket to find the property. And my response is, well, guess what? You're getting every bit of that back if it's a direct cost of putting the deal together, meaning legal fees, appraisals, surveys, environmental studies. They're not funding that net out of their pocket. They're getting reimbursed all that at closing. And so don't fall for that. And if you need help negotiating the clawback or help negotiating a deal where there's no such fees, let me know. Be happy to help you understand some of the nuances. And at the same time, we can talk about perhaps the possibility that you go buy your own property, maybe a small apartment building, because that, in many cases, you know, if you hit the grand slam, it'll actually be a grand slam, as opposed to these larger partnerships. You know, many of those, you got to hit a grand slam to get a single, because there's too many costs diluting your capital pool, your capital base. So anyway, and I did allude to the real estate private partnership syndications. Let me just define those for you. I refer to the acronym of REPS, R-E-P-P-S, and I indicate that REPS, or private partnership syndications, involve multiple investors passively pooling or providing their funds in a partnership structure under the U.S.'s United States Security Exchange Commission's crowdfunding statute. Syndicator, sponsor, or lead partner serves as the manager who's responsible for choosing a property, performing due diligence, and arranging its acquisition, including undertaking the necessary debt placement, that's borrowing, getting the mortgage from a lender, and equity raise. That's where the syndicator raises funds from folks like you. And of course, most of the capital is going to come from the debt structure. These days, it depends on the quality of the property you're acquiring and whether you've done this before. You're many times to the finish line, or maybe it's your first time. There's going to be a difference in the amount of loan-to-value you might expect to get, a difference in the interest rate. But in any event, I mentioned the issues that that the syndicator undertakes, and that's really why they get the promote. And, you know, I've seen promotes as high as 50% once they get a certain percentage of your money back through distributions. And so, you know, these are not small matters. And to throw acquisition fees and due diligence fees and refinance fees and disposition fees on top of the promote is just, it's egregious at times. So I'm going to suggest to you, as we turn a corner and get back into the market with more projects coming online, let's look real hard at what kind of fees are being proposed, and let's find out why. What's it going to provide that the last time you did this as a syndicator, maybe you weren't able to see it through to the finish line? In any event, we don't sell investments. Be a Planner Show, Nathan Ross, CPAs, etc. We don't sell investments, nor do we recommend or promote specific investments or specific syndicators or sponsors or lead partners. Rather, we strive to assist your understanding of what you're signing up for in each and every case, regarding opportunities you may be considering. We'll show you how to evaluate sponsors, opportunities, private placement offerings, so you can select projects which may achieve the highest odds of a favorable outcome. Let's do this. We're about halfway through the show. Why don't we take our next break, and we will circle back momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
I was gonna be rich no matter how much it cost. And I was gonna win no matter how much I lost. Grindstones and rhinestones have made up my life. But I shine like a diamond through sand.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195. 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to Nathan@npross.com. Nathan@npross.com.
Plumbing emergencies never happen at a convenient time. Usually they happen on the weekends, holidays, or while you're away on vacation. I'm Richard Saad, president of Nick's Plumbing. When you find yourself facing a plumbing emergency, call the licensed and experienced professionals at Nick's Plumbing and Sewer Services. Nick's Plumbing has been Houston's first choice for all your plumbing needs since 1979. Our experts can take your most difficult plumbing issues and fix them fast, fix them right, and usually for less than you'd expect. Nick's Plumbing and Sewer Services is the right choice for any plumbing job, from a leaky faucet, whole house repipe, or a complete sewer line replacement. You can count on Nick's Plumbing to do the job right. With over 40 years in business and over 150,000 satisfied customers, Nick's wants to be your plumbing company. Nick's Plumbing offers free estimates and free second opinions. Call Nick's Plumbing and Sewer Services, 713-868-9907, or visit us on the web, nicksplumbing.com.
MPL 38548.
Call Nick's Plumbing today. We're on the way.
Let's be honest. No one ever thinks about their garage until it stops working. Don't wait until a simple garage door repair becomes a major problem. If your garage is noisy or if it struggles to open, your garage door is in need of repairs. Recommended all over Houston, Garage Door Doctor is your trusted partner for all your garage door needs. Let the experts at Garage Door Doctor tune up your garage door and keep it running for a lifetime. Schedule an appointment today at garagedoordoctor.biz or call today.
Dan Patrick here for American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. I know the calendar says September, but you and I both know that Texas heat can last almost to Thanksgiving. Hot, humid days could still be ahead, and those wet, sticky nights. Take care of your family 12 months a year with American Standard Air. 130 years, American Standard technology and know-how can deliver clean, cool, and humidity-free air. Or you can switch over for a little heat when you need it, on a chilly fall morning or cool evening. Control is literally at your fingertips or on your smartphone. It's really that easy. Weather's changing in Texas, and then, as you know, it changes again. That's Texas. You gotta love it. I do. That's why it's been my home now for over 40 years. I'm comfortable all year long with my American Standard home comfort system, and you will be too. Comfort the way you like it. AmericanStandardAir.com.
Do you have cracks in your sheetrock, doors sticking? You may have foundation failure. If so, we can fix it. 832-515-3581. This is Mike Calvert with Noble Foundation Repair. We've been helping homeowners throughout the Gulf Coast region for over 30 years. At Noble Foundation Repair, we use the original PermaPile system that comes with a lifetime transferable warranty. Call me at 832-515-3581 for your free estimate. Or visit my website, NobleFoundationRepair.com.
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com for the Be A Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna warm it up and take it like a man.
Okay, welcome back to more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And I just flipped over to the usdebtclock.org site, and the national debt now, cumulative national debt is now up to $35 trillion, $200 billion and some change, depending on your assumption set. I was just comparing it to another site that tracks the deficit, and they've got $35 trillion 300 versus U.S. debt clock is at $35 trillion 288. So a few differences on assumptions, but all these assumptions are close enough. I don't care who you're looking at. If they have any inkling at all, they'll admit that we're in deep, deep trouble. And I always try to bring this back to where you're at in your future planning. And I'll tell you right now, you're skating on thin ice if you're counting on pre-tax IRA or 401k money to see you through, because I don't care how much your balance is now. A lot of it at the moment is not yours, and at some point it may be most of it because of the dire condition that we're in from a cumulative debt perspective, which feeds the deficit. You're probably not aware, unless you listen to this show, that the U.S. now, let me just check, see if they've updated. Well, they've got the numbers updated, but if you look at the U.S. debt clock, it's the second section down. It's the largest budget items in our federal budget. This year, and this year's fiscal year ends here in, 3 months or so? September 30th. For the first time, interest on the debt has eclipsed defense spending. We're at $936 billion right now. We're supposed to hit the $1 trillion mark here between now and the end of this month. I'm not sure if we'll make it, but it's going to be close, and it'll be the first time in the history of our country that we've gone over the $1 trillion mark. And it's likely the first time that the interest expenditure will exceed the defense expenditure. They're both in the $900 trillion range. And then, of course, Social Security's $1.4 trillion, and Medicare, Medicaid is a combined $1.8 trillion. So as Congressional Budget Office would tell us, which they issue a 10-year forecast every year, and then they update it throughout the year. And the most recent update here a month and a half or so ago showed that 10 years out, 10 years from now, the interest on the debt will be the number, it'll be in the number one spot of our budget expenditure. And if I'm not mistaken, I don't have with it. Well, let's see. Let me see if it's the time machine can go forward. Yeah, we can go out to 2028. Let's take a look at that. The U.S. debt clock has a time machine function. It's up at the top left where you can either back up or you can go forward. Let's see. On this day in 2028, the U.S. debt clock well, this is just 2028. This is not 2034. But just in a mere 4 years, the national debt will be at $47,500 billion. And the annual budget deficit will be at $4 trillion just for that 1 year. The interest on the debt will be three for that 1 year. This would be 2028. Would be what is that? $3 trillion, $3,077 billion. It's a crazy amount of money. It's no way to run a country, is what I would say. But so anyway, I try to bring this back to us lay people, if you will, and ask, well, how do we avoid this tax train that's barreling down the tracks? And it's going to be taking more and more of our retirement funds for the government. And what I mean by that is, let's say you have $1 million in your 401 account. When you take your distributions, whether they're the minimum required or required minimum distributions, or whether it's money you just decide, hey, I need some money to some aspirational spending. Let's say you need money to take the kids to Disney, right? Well, every dollar you pay out or take out, you're only going to get to keep a percentage of that. And right now, depending on your other income for the year, you're likely somewhere, if you're like most of our clients, we try to plan to keep you in the 24 to 32% bracket if you're a somewhat high earner. And because that's a reasonable spot, if you wanted to do some Roth conversions, we recommend trying to stay in that strata where you're paying 24 to 32% on that conversion, because we feel like we're not long off from when that 32% bracket at the top will go up. Well, it's not 32 at the top. It's 32 couple of layers before the top. I believe there's a 32% layer. And then there's 35, and then it gets up to, I believe it's 37.8, if I remember right. And let me see if I can find the tables real quick. Well, I'll get that on the next break here. If I'm not mistaken, it's 22, from about the midpoint, it's 22 to 24 to 32, then 35, then 37. And then, of course, you've got the additional net investment income tax, the Obamacare tax. It's at 3.8. And all those, by the way, under the Harris tax proposal would go up in some cases significantly. And even Biden, I mean, Biden was looking to raise, if I'm not mistaken, capital gains rates. He was wanting to go up to as high as 49% on certain types of securities or transactions. So there's no question that taxes are going to go up, but what's shocking is that they're not really going up if the current group were to continue in power. And I understand Mr. Biden wouldn't, but let's assume Ms. Harris does. They're not going to raise money to go pay down the debt. No, they're going to raise money to pay for the Green New Deal, if you will, and the program to allow them to build, what is it, 3 million, I think, new homes for new home buyers, first-time home buyers, I suppose. to provide the $25,000 upfront payment for first-time home buyers to buy a home. And then I believe they've got a $160,000 tier to provide, or I'm sorry, that's in California that's doing that program for the moment. I'm sure the federal will eventually do it. And, you know, it's just economic illiteracy. If you look at what it does to home prices and the cost of everything else, I mean, you know, the inflationary effect that will have, it won't be just housing. I mean, obviously, a lot of it will be, but, you know, it'll be interesting to see how those dollars leak out into the rest of the economy. And I'll tell you, it's if history is any indication, you can't just keep printing money. And I've looked at some tentative analysis on what it does to the deficit, and it definitely affects the deficit, I mean, as you would assume. There's some unknowns, obviously, and how, you know, you've still got to have people, even if you give them the first part, you know, the down payment money, et cetera, they've still got to be able to pay for the ongoing cost of a home. It's expensive. And I started to talk earlier about the median single family and the median income that it takes for a buyer to qualify. And the median income for an apartment unit of a certain size, I believe it was two bedroom, much less. I believe it's 54%. I can't remember all the averages that were baked into that pool, you know, which class of apartment, et cetera. But bottom line is, it's why I continue to say that it's going to be a while before the rent to buy index will tip back over to the buy side of that equation. I mean, the Florida Atlantic University has that rent to buy index that they've developed. Take a look at that if you want to try to get some feel of how to analyze when that's going to change. But it's going to be a while that the rental market should be strong. Now, the only problem we have right now, again, is absorption is becoming a bit difficult because we delivered so many new units. But it's again varies depending on which part of the country you're in. It's interesting, the West Coast seems to be one of the brighter spots in terms of where the multifamily market has managed to sidestep, or at least coming back, I guess, here most recently. Tony Cardoza, the Managing Director of Acquisitions at Cityview, said that, you know, some areas of the Sun Belt and the West Coast are showing a surge in transactions. Now, that could be transactions that are in distress. I don't know. I'd have to know more about which type of complexes are selling. But let's see, he goes on to say there's some distress, but we're seeing in the multifamily sector that's driving sellers to come to market that really wasn't evidenced in the past. I think the capital markets are much more liquid, and capital providers are really looking at some of those opportunities in a more serious manner than they were before, and ready to step into transactions like that. Let's go ahead and take our last break. We've got about 10 minutes left, and we'll circle back here momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
People always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little more.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195. 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com. Nathan at npross.com.
Milo's Rewards members, it's Labor Day and doorbuster deals are waiting for you. Take advantage of holiday prices and save $1,500 on a Hisense Smart French Door Refrigerator to create your dream kitchen. Plus, save $100 on a 10-foot animatronic skeleton because Halloween is right around the corner. Not a member? Join for free today to get these savings and more. Valid through 9-2. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change. While supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Are you feeling the impact of the recent changes in the timeshare industry? My friends at Lone Star Transfer are the only company I trust. For more than a decade, they have successfully helped over 20,000 owners get out of their timeshare. With an A-plus rating at the Better Business Bureau and thousands of five-star reviews, customer service is their priority. For a free consultation and a guaranteed solution, 855-551-7066 or go to LoneStarTransfer.com.
Hello, my friends. Chris Salcedo here. Have you noticed how customer service is on the downhill slide? If you're dealing with a huge project that will impact the beauty and comfort of your home, don't you want a company that treats you like royalty? That's what they do at Gulf Coast Windows, your trusted home window replacement company. Jim Fiume is the owner of Gulf Coast Windows. His customer care has kept him in business going on 40 years now. It's what makes him different from the fly-by-night or massive corporate companies. Jim puts you, the customer, first. Gulf Coast Windows has a special offer for KSEV listeners. Pay no interest for 5 years and get an additional $150 off each window purchased. These high-quality windows are gorgeous and are designed for our rugged Texas climate. Call 713-849-5454. That's 713-849-5454 and get the KSEV special for the entire month. Again, pay no interest for 5 years and get $150 off each window purchased. Just go to GulfCoastWindows.com. That's GulfCoastWindows.com. Tell them Chris Salcedo sent you. The woke agenda is bad news for our rights, our liberties, our prosperity. Hey, kids, it's your liberty-loving Latino, Chris Salcedo. And you know I believe in building the parallel economy. Why? Because woke companies take the profits and they donate to candidates and causes that hurt us. So I want you to check out PatriotSwitch.com/storm. It's a place where you can go to buy a lot of stuff you're already buying. And for those of you with the entrepreneurial spirit, an opportunity to start a business of your own. Check it out. PatriotSwitch.com/storm.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
dreams and fantasies. And there are many just like me with big dreams and fantasies.
Okay, welcome back to the final segment of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA. I wanted to just mention, this is a topic we've talked about often in the last year or more, about the huge amount of debt that is going to have to be refinanced, or the properties are going to have to be sold in an effort to pay back the loans. And I'll just read you the highlights of this article that came in, looks like it was yesterday, the 4th. For the last 2 years, many lenders, brokers, analyst firms, and other experts have warned about a coming CRE, commercial real estate debt maturity wave. JLL, that's that would be Jones LaSalle, has seized this wave and estimates, or they've sized this wave and estimates that the total due by the end of 2025 is $1.5 trillion. That's amazing. That is a lot of properties, and they're under a load. And about a quarter, or $375 billion, will have a hard time refinancing. Now, why would that be? I've got the reasons that I can suggest for at least multifamily is some syndicators have failed to execute their original business plan. They don't have a property that's trending on the higher net operating income. They may have other issues, or insurance may have gone through the roof, and that's affecting the NOI, the net operating income. It would possibly, or most likely, not possibly, most likely, involve the cap rates that have still not worked their way back down. And in fact, the basics, here moving on with the article, the basics have changed, or the basics have faced the industry for years now. Through the pandemic, two events happened. One, the Federal Reserve pushed an easy money monetary policy to increase liquidity, and the federal government pumped rescue money into the economy, both at rates never before seen. Secondly, inflation quickly rose, as classical economics would suggest, and the Fed boosted interest rates to battle it. Higher borrowing rates were a shock, even though they weren't out of keeping with historical norms. I've mentioned before that if you look back over 50 or 60 years, somewhere in that neighborhood, the interest rates were about like they were today. I mean, if you want to talk about historical averages, you know, 6.5% to 8% would be in the target range. But, however, commercial real estate borrowers recently experienced ultra-low rates, and recently would mean, you know, 3 to 5 years ago, as Fed Chair Jerome Powell has described them. The differential was sudden and high. Transactions fell, and as a result, so did the valuations of many properties. So, you know, when you look at the inverse relationship between the interest rate or the cap rate, interest rates and cap rates typically move in similar direction or the same direction. They're just not necessarily in lockstep, but they're not far behind. You'll see the cap rate start to inch up. But as cap rates go up, the value of your property goes down. And likewise, when cap rates recede, the value of the property goes back up. In any event, about 40% of the properties that need refinancing are multifamily ones, according to Fortune magazine. Many of the owners finance their purchases using three-year bridge loans over temporary loans. It wasn't an unusual strategy, but many using it frequently miss the addition of a hedge. They didn't buy a rate lock against rising rates. Anyway, this is the same scenario we've described many times, and I guess I was only discussing this article to give you some idea of just how egregious the level of these loans are. I guess I don't know if their 40% moniker is for the dollars involved or if it's for the number of loans. I would suggest it's probably the dollars. That means $600 billion of debt related to multifamily, and that's in the range of what I've heard other research groups say. That's a lot of debt that has to find a home. Okay, so as we wrap up, I've just got a minute left. The tax train's coming. Multifamily will be here regardless. There's going to be some new faces, new properties. But the beat goes on because people have to have a home to live in. And what you need to consider doing is protecting your retirement funds in a hard asset class of investment, and multifamily apartments are a great opportunity. Let's do this. Let's go ahead and wrap up, and then I'll tell you that we'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. And if any of you are interested in learning more about how to reposition your assets into these hard assets we call multifamily, give me a call. You can schedule a call on our website at BAPlannerShow.com. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. Ooh.